You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
To the Gastroenteritis Blues. My name is Steve Lippman, joined as always by Dan Bopone. Dan, well, won't say it. This is once again a No Girls Allowed episode, No Producers Allowed episode, just me and Danny Ballgame doing a podcast. No Emily, she is away, and Drew is not here, has better things to do. It's just us, Dan, like old times. I've got a bit of a cold. It's not COVID. I've taken a lot of Binax tests this week, and Binax tests are difficult. They make you twist it around. This is in my act. Twist them around. Anyway, Dan, first question for you. What is your favorite? Oh, didn't think of it ahead of time. What is your favorite breakfast?
I love a good bacon, egg, and cheese.
From?
Oh, that's tough. I mean,
and on what?
Preferably a plain bagel. Okay. But yeah, I think most places do it pretty well. It's hard to mess up. I like to think I make a pretty good one myself. But
bodega?
There is a. Well, we don't have bodegas, Steve. I don't live in New York.
Okay.
But there's a place I went around here that had really expensive bagels in South Philly. I forget what it was called, but they had a very good egg sandwich. But yeah, I mean, really anywhere, like,
yeah,
can't go wrong.
Good stuff. Now, let me tell you a quick story. I was at a bachelor party in Louisville, Kentucky. I was at a bar. I was imbibing. I went to the bathroom. As I was in the bathroom, I checked my phone, I load up Twitter. I see a lot of tweets about, now this was 2 weeks ago. We were off last week. We took some time off. The week before, this is when this was happening. It was a bachelor party. I go to the bathroom, load up my phone. I load up Twitter. I see a lot of tweets about tweets. And the tweets say, either look at or don't look at Doc Rivers Twitter likes. Now, again, this feels like it was a while ago, and that's because we didn't talk last week. Now, Doc Rivers' Twitter likes are sensitive in nature. Now, Dan, you may have seen the videos that Doc had been liking. I don't know what your proclivities are in this realm. I am, of course, a man of God. I don't know anything about these sorts of activities they were doing. But Doc's likes were of a hardcore porn, and people really giving it to each other. And you know, I mean, the likes are just a couple people and many different, what was it, 9 different videos of people really bumping uglies. And it was just wild to see. And a lot of people were really having fun on the internet, and I thought it was hilarious. And a while after that, they were deleted. And it, you know, in between that, there was like Doc's political takes, like Doc's, you know, Democratic, Biden.
He loves the Lincoln Project.
The Lincoln Project, right. Yeah. And that it's like, you know, whatever, fuckmesilly.com. You know, I don't fucking know. It's like insane. So the next morning, our own Paul Hudrick here at Liberty Ballers said, he confirmed through a source. Now this, I do think, went to lots of folks. That Doc Rivers' Twitter account was compromised and the team was working overnight to address it. All of the content has since been unliked and Rivers has full access to his account again. Dan, I ask you, do you believe that hackers got into Doc's account and liked and only liked like random porn tweets and then left the account?
No, absolutely not. No, that didn't happen. Maybe the best thing I could believe for Doc is that someone else runs his Twitter, but I'm not sure that that is true because he doesn't tweet much, so I don't think that he used it enough to have someone else run it. So I would say that Doc went on Twitter, didn't realize everyone could see his likes, liked a bunch of porn tweets, and went to bed. And then woke up in the morning, saw everyone was mad, and the Sixers told Paul that Doc's account was compromised, whatever that means. And I think that's what happened.
Why do you think he was liking them? To save them for later?
Yeah, I mean, he's old, right? Like, maybe he didn't know people could see his likes, and he didn't know that you could, like... Can't you like bookmark a tweet? I don't bookmark.
You can,
tweets, but I believe you can bookmark tweets. Doc probably didn't know that. He's old, right? Like,
right.
Sorry, I'm not buying.
It feels like if you were going to hack into a very famous person's Twitter account, you would do more in there than to just like random lascivious tweets. I don't know. Seems a bit odd to me. It seems more to me that. Listen, there's nothing wrong with taking part in those sorts of activities. And as we're going to talk about later in the podcast, there's a lot worse shit that head coaches are doing and team leaders are doing.
Get a burner. Or just don't like it. You don't have to like the tweet.
Right.
Burn it.
Or go ahead and like him. I mean, listen,
he's representing the entire organization.
Right. A lot of people were saying that, like, the old Joel Embiid would have been tweeting about this. I mean, that would legitimately tear the team apart. If Joel had tweeted about this, Doc would never let him forget it, and they would come to blows. So this is a great, a really fun wrinkle in the offseason. Ben Simmons did an interview, if you want to call it that, on the J.J. Redick, Old Man and the Three podcast. With his little buddy, Tommy. This interview, I hate watched it. And you told me that you just watched clips. I want to know, just give me your initial reaction to the clips that you watched. I did watch the whole thing and I can tell you what my takeaways were.
Yeah, I mean, my initial reaction was like, this is kind of classic Ben. I was glad to see that he seemed happy or whatever. Like, I'm not wishing, you know, mental pain upon Ben or anything like that. And, you know, he said that he was struggling and he seems better. So in that sense, you know, good for him. You know, I'm happy to see that then. But classic Ben also, just in the sense of not really taking responsibility for a lot of things, like, you know, the only time I heard him really take responsibility is when he said, you know, he should have handled the situation better. But like explaining away the passed up dunk, like, you know, still saying that like everyone was mad at him for one play when really it was in four of the seven games he didn't attempt a field goal in the fourth quarter. That didn't get brought up. Didn't get brought up from what I saw that he shot 37% from the foul line throughout the playoffs, and still hasn't worked on his shot. Still saying that he doesn't need to shoot. It's just classic Ben. And it's why I think, we were right about who Ben is. And I don't mean that as like an insult to Ben, but Ben is not a usual NBA player. And I've said this before on this podcast, but like a lot of NBA players, especially great players, even not like just players as good as Ben in general, like Ben is still a very good player. Usually players at that level, when there's something they can't do, they have an arrogance of like, well, I'll show you, I can do that. I'm gonna learn to do it. I'm gonna work my ass off and I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna prove all my doubters wrong. And Ben's mentality has always been an arrogance in the sense of, I'm fine as I am. I don't need to get better at those things. I don't need to shoot. I don't need to develop my scoring ability. And it's why it was so silly to me when, you know, Ben was holding out in, well, there were the rumors of Ben not talking to the team in the offseason after the Hawks series. And there were the Ben apologists who had so much to say about like, well, like what if Ben shows up to camp really motivated, he apologizes to the team and he's learned how to shoot and he's going to be a shooter now. And it was always so silly because like, I'm not trying to say that I know Ben Simmons or that like I know everything about Ben Simmons, but like he's pretty easy to read in that sense. And it's not something that he's ever felt the need to work on. It's still not something like classic Ben. He doesn't think he needs to work on this. He doesn't think that it was a problem. He doesn't, he has boiled it down probably for his own mental well-being, which I somewhat get. He's boiled all of the frustrations with him down to one play so he can brush it off. It was one play, one bad play, which I had it back. But it wasn't. It was a lot more than that. It was the free throws. It was the not being aggressive on offense, passing the ball as soon as he gets it. He's talked more about, oh, I guarded Trae Young. You know, I guarded Trae the whole series. Like, we lost the series. Like, he didn't do enough, and he's not ever going to accept that. That's not who he is. And I, like I said, I'm not trying to say I have a full read on Ben, but the reason I think everyone kind of accepts who Ben is now, but the reason I was very ahead on, you know, I was low on Ben before that Hawks series, relatively. I still thought he was a good player, of course, but like relatively low on Ben before that Hawks series. Relatively low on Ben before the holdout, before everyone was frustrated with him. And the reason is because I had somewhat of a read on how he approached the game this way. That like, you know, it even boils back, and all of this kind of got forgotten and got brought up again during the holdout when everyone was like finally like not walking on eggshells around the Ben people and willing to talk about it. But like you hear Joel bring it up, like he wanted Jimmy gone, right? Like that's not something that someone whose first priority is winning does. And that has always been my read on Ben. And I think that, you know, obviously we're at a point now, Ben's not gonna be able to learn to shoot. He's too old. He hasn't changed his form in too long. It's horrible. He looks horrible shooting the ball. But like it was classic Ben in there, like minimizing his deficiencies, minimizing his mistakes. And I get it, you know, it's been, he has had to come to terms with everything that happened too. And maybe that's part of that for him, but it's really not based in the reality of how his time ended here, in my opinion. And it's just kind of classic Ben, like even before all this, it's how Ben approached things. So like I said, main takeaway is he looked happy and, you know, good for him. It's not our problem anymore as Sixers fans that he approaches the game this way, but it's how he's always approached the game. And it's clear that's how he's still approaching everything related to this. And if I were a Nets fan, it wouldn't make me super thrilled to have watched that.
So, yeah, I mean, he went on JJ's podcast, which is like, he's his friend and like,
it's softball.
You know, exactly. So I had a friend who texted me like, these questions were ridiculous. Like his feet weren't held to the fire or anything. It's like, yeah, but I wasn't expecting, he didn't go on a journalist podcast. He went on JJ's podcast and it's his first time talking at length, you know, after this whole thing. Like I wasn't expecting anything. I did hope that he was going to be asked directly about Joel, which he wasn't, but it came off very clearly that he hates Joel, and that, like, you know what I mean, like it's very clear that Ben hates a lot of players on the team and that he fucking hates Doc. Like, that's very clear. Yeah, and JJ just, you know, the way he asked the question about the Atlanta series was only about that one play, which is just, like, completely missing the point. Like, of course people talk about that play because that play was, like, it was sort of
It was symbolic of
it was like a meme of the series. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like it wasn't
a one-off. It was like, oh my god, this guy won't take a shot. And look how much he won't take a shot.
Yes. No, and how petrified he was of shooting free throws, because there was a guy there under the basket and he could have fouled him as he went up. Like
not almost under the basket, but not really.
Right. So like, but the whole thing was that he was completely absent the whole time in the series, but also this had happened over and over in the playoffs against any team worth playing. Like, you know, so that was really not. And also he had stagnated for years and years offensively. Like he hadn't done anything to improve and actually regressed offensively from his rookie year. So like,
I mean, you look at
he wasn't asked about any of that.
Before the injury even, like you go all the way back to coming out of college. And you watch him in the summer league, he was a much more creative passer.
Yeah, right.
He was much more aggressive going to the basket, and he looked like a future superstar. Like, I fully thought Ben would be a top 10 player in the NBA when I watched him come in. Even, and I, you know, at that time, it was reasonable to, I mean, he took three threes in college, but he was 1 for 3. The elbow wasn't nearly as bowed out when he shot. And it was completely reasonable to think he could be a very, very good offensive player. Never happened.
Right. So, you know, there was the dispute about, there was the Shams report that like Joel and Matisse and Danny and all those guys were going to go out to LA and Ben told them not to come. Now, when asked about that, Ben said that they had all summer to go and visit him and they didn't. So when they tried to do that, he was like, they had all summer and then they didn't. So then I heard Zach Lowe and Ramona talking about it. And Ramona said, well, he didn't respond to their calls all summer. So how could they have done that? Like, were they just supposed to doorstep him and just like roll up? Like Doc Rivers had reached out to him all summer and he didn't respond to any of his calls. So yeah, it's just, you know, there was, you know, as I watch it, like there's nothing in there that really would have made me satisfied, like, you know. So it's not like he could have said anything that would have, as a Sixers fan, made me feel good. Like, don't like him, think he stinks, you know. Like you're right, he does seem content in a way, which is like nice to see. You know, the fact that he talked for an hour and a half, I think is evidence of that.
It was weird to see. Not that I expected him to like go on and like shit talk Sixers fans, because I think he just knows that like that's not really worth doing for him. But it can't be true that he loves the Sixers fans. I mean, it was very clear that, like,
come on, man.
I mean, it's been clear, like the leaks from his camp, that like we have been blamed for a lot of this, which, and we've talked about before, like, I mean, as someone who was not a Ben guy, like to sit at that game five with you guys and like cheer him as he made a free throw, like really cheer him, felt so pathetic. Like it felt pathetic at the time. And luckily I had enough beers, I was willing to do it. But like, it was like somewhat sincere. Like it wasn't a sarcastic cheer. It was like the fans were really pulling for him, really supporting him. And then immediately we were like thrown under the bus, like, because he got booed off the court for playing like garbage and losing to a team that we should have absolutely beaten. So I think it's frustrating to, I guess, not have, you know, and it's what's going to happen as Ben like tries to like come back into the league and like get some favor back in the league. But like a lot of these things that happened like during the holdout at the beginning of it, where it was like messy and like blame being thrown around from his camp constantly, with like these leaks to the media, like they're not going to be revisited. It's just going to be like, yeah, Ben said this and we're gonna pretend he didn't.
You know, they asked him about getting thrown out of Sixers practice. Ben said, you know, the whole holdout was never about money. Now everybody was saying take his money, and Ben was like, I don't care about the money, I wanted peace. And JJ smartly asked him, then why did you show up to practice that time or those two times? And Ben said, in a way, I was trying to like do the right thing. I was trying to do the right thing, which I don't.
I think those were exactly his words, actually.
Right. Like, I don't really get that. Because he, at the time, like, it's very clear that he hated the guys on the team. So, like, who are you trying to do the right thing by? It seemed, to me, it always seemed pretty clear that he was trying to get his checks when he showed up to practice. Anyway. He showed up to practice, and he was just sleepwalking. And he explains that he was really mad that, like, he was just, like, not there. And he tells Doc at the beginning, like, yo, I'm here, but, like, I'm not going to participate. And Doc was like, all right, we'll see about that. And Doc throws him into practice. And Ben's just, like, basically, like, walking around doing nothing. And then Doc throws him out. It's like, I don't blame Doc for that. Like, you're here. Like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, either be here or stay the fuck home. Like, so I don't blame Doc for that. Like, you know, so that's how he describes. He said that he didn't have his phone in his pocket. He had a jersey in his pocket. Certainly more fun if he had a phone in pocket, but I think he's probably right about that. So yeah, that's how he described that.
Yeah, it's such a, it's a tough thing because mental health is different for everyone, and right. Everyone has different reactions to things. Everyone handles things differently. Right. But, like, it's just hard to feel sympathy for him for being asked to practice. Like, even if he's going through.
Well, he just shouldn't have gone. Like just,
people,
you know.
People yeah. have to show up to work all the time while they're struggling with their mental health. And I'm not saying that that's always fair. But if Ben really felt that way, then yeah, don't go. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a tough thing. And, you know, I'm not, you know, trying to speculate on that right now, but it was, I will just say, you know, I've seen a lot of people who have had the reaction of, you know, being offended by how Ben has handled this because, you know, and maybe that's not fair to Ben, but, like, people do feel he's been insincere about this, that he has used this to get his money, right? Because it came after he said his back was hurt and the team looked at it and said, your back's fine. And there are people who, you know, on Twitter say, well, you know, it's not, you know, right how he handled it. He used it as an excuse to, you know, not go to work and get his money. And, you know, he seemed, you know, like, it didn't seem like it was a problem until just now. Now, I don't know. It's such a hard thing, right? Because, you know, you can be struggling with your mental health and that doesn't preclude you from working, or you can have, you know, maybe it does preclude you from working. And the language in the CBA was very vague about it. So it's a tough topic, and it's a tough topic to talk about because we'll never really know. But it was a very, very weird situation. And yeah, it's hard to blame Doc when the guy ignores you all summer, has a trade request in, shows up and mopes when you're trying to, you know, you're also trying to, like, have the rest of the team not be mopey and, like, be ready for the season and, like, get motivated to, like, play as a group. And so I think it's, you know, Ben was clearly not happy with how Doc handled it, but I think it is a tough situation on Doc, and Doc can't only go about it like, oh, Ben's down, I can't play him. Like, I think that's a really hard ask. And, you know, yeah, if that was really true, the best solution is probably not to go.
Yeah, I mean, just happy it's over for everybody involved.
Yeah, including for Ben.
Yeah, 100%.
He looks happy. And, you know, if he was truly going through it with that much of a struggle before that he couldn't even participate in practice, and he now appears this happy, then good for him. And I wish nothing negative on back him in that way. I wish him no basketball success, but I wish him complete happiness in life.
Absolutely. Yes. He definitely eventually had a back thing because he, right. You know, whenever that, I mean, he had back surgery. That's a real thing. So yeah. All right. Celtics coach Ime Udoka has been suspended by the Celtics for a full year and seems to me like he's never going to coach for them again.
Yeah, what kind of, you can't suspend your own coach for a full year and then be like,
all right, Ime, get back in. So the reporting on this has been really weird and kind of irresponsible, in my opinion. The first report was from Woj, who said that sort of vaguely, like, Celtics coach Ime Udoka is facing a long suspension. And then he said, it's for a consensual affair, or him and Sham said this. Now, a lot of the internet was saying, why would he be suspended for a consensual affair? And it was with a female staffer. Consensual affair with a female staffer. Now, it's in the Celtics rules that you cannot have an affair with a member of the staff. Like that's part of the rules that you cannot do that.
Do the rules say strictly affair, or like can you start a relationship and like tell HR or something?
I believe that you probably have to go above board and like do things like that. Now, people kept saying like, why would you ever be suspended for this length of time? Like they lump in the Robert Sarver, like he got suspended for the same length of time with this. Like to me, it always seemed like there's a lot more that we don't know right now. So I would not jump on like, poor Ime, like he's getting screwed here. Like, no, dude, he's probably a fucking shithead who did something wrong. And like,
and
don't run with the word consensual here and like just think that everything was fine. And what were we about to say, Shams report?
Well, I guess I'll just add that, like, you know, the word consensual isn't, I don't think, always is like super clear, right? Like,
yeah,
like
power dynamics.
And... Right. Like, if there was a quid pro quo, is that consensual? Like, probably right. Not. Even if it, you know what I mean? And then you also have, you know, the Shams aspect of things, which Shams reported that he made unwanted comments toward the staffers. And that's why this was figured out, basically, as she reported it to the organization. So,
yeah. So he was making unwanted comments toward her. Which obviously made her uncomfortable. Also, you know, all of yesterday or 2 days, whenever you're listening to this a few days ago, people online were doing horrible things with guessing who the woman was, which is terrible. But also the Celtics, with obviously leaking the story and giving out very little information as to like, not exactly, I don't want them to put out the names necessarily, but they put out basically no information as to like Udoka's involvement or like what exactly is the status of what's going on, it leads to just people running rampant with this. So I think
they have to leak it ahead of time. Like,
yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's fucked up. And I think that Udoka seems like a bad guy for this. And I can't imagine him ever coaching for them again. I mean, oh, also Joe Mazzulla, the guy that they put in as the interim head coach, domestic battery in 2009. So the Celtics are really cleaning things up over there. Any other thoughts on this situation here?
No, I mean, I don't know nearly enough to talk about this, and I don't think anyone really does, so.
It seemed like, you know, Lo and Ramona talked about this as well, and they really intimated that, like, there are some ugly details that will be coming out about this where you'll be, like, you'll understand more clearly why the length of the suspension is what it is and all of that kind of
stuff. No, definitely. The length of the suspension is, like, it seems like them hoping he resigns, too, which, like, I don't know why you don't just fire him at that point, but. Seems kind of cowardly.
They don't fire him because they don't want to pay the salary.
Oh yeah, right. So
exactly. Yeah. So which is also like a
kind of cowardly, yeah.
Exactly, cowardly.
If he's fired with that kind of cause, though, you know, it's not like losing games. Like, I don't know what his contract looks like, but like if you violate a, you know, organizational rule and you're, you know, have you know, treated women poorly in the workplace, then it seems like that could be, you know, a lot of contracts would have an out for that kind of thing. So
you would think so, right? I'm not sure. We'll see what happens there. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with the second half here.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Jay Crowder is on the block with the Phoenix Suns. He tweeted this morning and deleted that there was like a training camp tweet about the Suns. And he said 99, which is his number, won't be there. Do you want him? And would you trade your favorite player, Matisse Thybulle, to get him? Yeah, do you want Jay Crowder? What do you think?
I do want Jay Crowder. I think he's still a good player. He's been helpful with the Suns. I'm not like fully sold on him as like a playoff defender. He's not going to be Tucker, but he's a good shooter and he's taller and he's still like a decent defender. And I feel like he's had a bit of a revival in Phoenix. Like he was just kind of for a while. And he's been like a really helpful player for them. Maybe he's just, you know, how role players go, like he might just be in a better role for him, but you know, I would be very happy to have Crowder. I would definitely trade Matisse for him, but I would trade Matisse for whatever at this point. I think that Crowder, you know, makes us bigger. Like I think we need a little bit of size, and we signed a 6'6" power forward and a 6'8" center. They're going to be in our rotation right now. So, you know, Crowder is a bigger forward, which is nice. And yeah, I mean, I'd be happy to have him on the Sixers. I think he would play. He can, you know, play the three if needed and, you know, probably be a helpful rebounder there. But I don't think he really wants to come here. Now, he might be open to it. It seems like he wants to go to Miami. But you know, I would be happy to get Crowder and definitely would trade like Matisse and Korkmaz or whatever it takes, because I don't think you're in great shape if either of those guys are in the playoff rotation.
Yeah. Crowder is good and helpful. And, you know, he would basically take over the Niang spot as the backup four. And, you know, switchable defender, another dog. Great. Why not? I would definitely do that. Last thing I forgot to say about the Udoka thing is that, like, this is the last thing the Celtics want to do. Like, the Celtics do not want to suspend their head coach who just had, like, an amazing season and brought the Celtics to the finals for a calendar, like, for a full season and probably never have him coach again. Like, so something fucked up happened. Like, if they could sweep this under the rug, they absolutely would. And something really wrong went on here. So, like, I would rest assured that, like, they're not doing this for no reason and they're not being, like, overly cautious on this. I do think that, like, something really wrong happened. All right. Speaking of something wrong happening, Robert Sarver, rampant racist and sexist. So he has decided to sell the team after Adam Silver levied a very soft penalty, which was, like, a year suspension and what was it, 10 million? Now, Sarver Adam Silver had horrible quotes on this. He said, there are particular rights here to someone who owns an NBA team as opposed to someone who is an employee. It's different than holding a job, which I know is probably like literally true. And he can't unilaterally force Sarver to sell the team. He would have to get all the board of governors to vote on that. But my issue was like, why wouldn't you just suspend him indefinitely? Why wouldn't you just suspend him, which you can do, for way longer than 1 year?
What does it really mean to suspend an owner?
He can't operate the team.
But like, how much is he involved in the day-to-day of the team anyway?
Versus, well, that varies.
Versus right. Just profiting, like either way he's profiting off the team.
Yes, he would still profit off the team, but like basically he can lord over their decisions and he can't attend the games and he can't, you know.
Probably make the team a lot better and then he'd make more money, so.
Right.
Phoenix has hated him since way before all of this came out, so.
It seemed very odd to me that the suspension was so light. After this happened, LeBron James, Chris Paul tweeted about, you know, not approving of this. Some sponsors dropped out from the Suns. And then Sarver announced that he's going to open up a sale for the team because cancel culture got him. And he said, you know, in this unforgiving climate, you know, there's no path to forgiveness. What are your thoughts on this saga?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm not sure how much Adam Silver could have done. Not that I'm an Adam Silver defender or anything, but like you said, like the other owners need to agree to have him sell the team. And I don't think that they wanted that to happen. Like a good portion of the owners are definitely like, you know, people who have, you know, done racist and sexist things in the workplace.
100%.
So it's not like, and like, you know, it doesn't, it's not like a, it sounds ridiculous to say that, you know, his racist and sexist things weren't motivated by racism and sexism, which is what the league found. But
what in the world was that quote?
But you have to remember that, like, Adam Silver is speaking on behalf of the other owners who we just agreed probably think this way. And right. So I'm not defending it. But what I'm saying is, like, tell where it's coming from. And it's coming from a place of the other owners don't think this is something that they should have to sell the team for. They could somewhat see themselves in this. At least enough of them could somewhat see themselves in this. And it's not like the Donald Sterling brand of racism where it was, you know, so abhorrent to them. Like they were.
Well, there's no tape. There's no smoking gun.
They're right. This was at least somewhat okay with them. And I want to be clear, this is not a defense of that. This is not a defense of the owners or of Adam Silver or of Sarver by any means. I'm just saying it seems clear where this is coming from. It seems clear why he wasn't told to sell the team like Sterling was, which is that the owners didn't think he should have to. And, you know, it was always going to be the sponsors pull out and that's when Sarver sells the team. Right, because he doesn't want you and my forgiveness, and he doesn't want the forgiveness of, you know, Black people or of women. Like, he doesn't care about that. He cares about the forgiveness of the people who make him money, which is, you know, the sponsors of the team. And he didn't have their forgiveness, and that's when he decided to sell. Right. And that's how it was always going to go. It was kind of predictable. I think it's a bad look for the NBA, like everyone involved. Again, I'm not defending it, but like I just think that's. My take on it is that's exactly what happened. Steve sneezing. A lot of sneezes, Steve.
All right, here we go. The Birds are 2-0.
Do you have nothing else to say on that? That's your transition?
Hang on. I agree with you. I think you're right. And, yeah. Who do you think's going to own the Suns? Jeff Bezos? You love him.
Thanks, Steve. I think that the other owners would hate that.
Yeah.
Like, he's too rich, I think.
Yeah, he's too rich and too famous.
Well, and he's too... I think that, like, it would be a disadvantage to the other teams for him to own them. Like, if he could find, like, like, he, if he's interested in something, it's clear he's like not afraid to like blow money on it, like going to space. Like, unfortunately, he hasn't found an interest in like climate change or, you know, the housing crisis or anything like that. But
yeah, maybe someday. Not that interesting.
No, they're not interesting topics. But he, you know, if he got really into the team, like, you know, you see like Cuban like going to all the games and stuff, and like if Bezos got into the Suns in that way, like you could see them spending so far over the cap and way into the tax, because like it's relatively nothing to him, and you would, you know, would be a hero in Phoenix, and you know, would be able to wear the championship rings and stuff, and maybe people would think he's cool. I wouldn't, but someone might. Right. So yeah, I think that the other owners wouldn't love that, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't happen. I think he has a good shot at it. No one's outbidding him, so
should we buy them?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably, you know, pull together, you know, maybe like one millionth of the asking price, something like that.
No, you're joking. I'm saying me, you, Emily, and Drew. Now we can actually.
So I'll be a minority owner.
Yeah.
You guys will handle it. Yeah. Yeah, I'd be fine with that, because you know, you guys, I know you guys value my input, so I think, you know, I could, as the majority owners, I could help you guys out. And you know, maybe help represent the team with my minority stake. I mean,
Emily,
all of Sixers Twitter already hates me, but maybe I'll have better luck with Suns Twitter. So we'll Suns Twitter.
Yeah, we can definitely do it.
Yeah.
Srikar, they'd like us. All right. Birds are 2-0. Are you a believer in Jalen Hurts? You tweeted something where you were like, something like, I love Jalen Hurts, something like that.
So
I was at the Vikings game.
Oh, how was it? I thought about going, but I didn't.
It was so great.
Also, why were you in Philly? You didn't say hi to me.
Because I was there in and out. And then I left.
Yeah, so I was definitely a Jalen skeptic last year. Didn't see liked him as a guy a lot. There's nothing not to like about Jalen. Didn't see the arm talent. He didn't have a strong arm, wasn't accurate, played poorly. And I think from where he was starting at, it was a long way for him to become a very good quarterback, the kind of quarterback you want to win around. I am very happy to say that I appear to be very wrong on that. And Jalen looks phenomenal. And he's definitely looking like a quarterback that you want to build around, that you want to extend after this year, like the quarterback of the future for the Eagles. It's only been 2 games, of course. And I say that just to not get ahead of myself, not to say that he's not the real deal or anything like that. Jalen looks awesome. Like, I thought he looked great against the Vikings. He, you know, still has, the one critique would be he has a tendency to, you know, put his head down when the rush comes. But I thought he was better with that against Minnesota. And running the ball, he looks really, really good. Like, I think especially now that he's more of a passing threat, running's become easier. But he's so strong. He's hard to tackle. He's not that tall. And he doesn't look that big. Like, he looks strong, but he doesn't look that big. But like, he runs over guys in a way that like most quarterbacks don't. Like
run where they got him at the 5 and he just turned and got in.
This will not be a popular comparison, but that was like, that reminded me of how Carson would run, but way faster. But like how strong Carson was when he was like still good with the Eagles, or like, you know, Cam Newton in his prime. Like those guys are so much bigger than Jalen. But Jalen is like as strong as them. Like Jalen is a strong, strong guy. And he runs strong, which I love. It's fun to watch. I thought his accuracy looks so much better. You can tell the team loves him. And yeah, I was like, I'm excited for Sunday's game. It was a ton of fun to watch on Monday. The defense was great. Slay was great. And Jalen looks absolutely legit. Absolutely legit. So I'm definitely on board with Jalen. He looks phenomenal.
Any prediction for Jalen against Carson?
Yeah. Birds win. Come on.
They're going to kill him. I just think they're going to kill him. Like, I think, you know, there's going to be a ton of Birds fans there. They're going to kill him. Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Dan, if we went to the Gastro Blues likes, would we find anything in there?
I hope not. If so,
you're right.
I don't have access to the account. I was compromised. However,
and we are working to get it back. the password.
Yeah, we're working to get it back. It's, you know, hopefully by the morning, you know, I'll have one of you guys put out a statement.
Okay. We'll have Drew put out a statement.
Yeah.
We're working to get the password back. All right. Good stuff. Follow Gesher Blues Pod. Steve J. Lippman, Third and Girl, DA Pelts 13. The Gesher Blues Pod, a Sixers podcast on YouTube. Big episode coming next week. Go ahead and listen. And that's it. Go Birds. And be safe and be great. We did it.
Lovely. Another perfect episode.
Another perfect episode. God bless. Goodbye.
Yeah.